The Bible tells us that only God sees the future, but it also says we should prepare for it. Does that include churches? Hi, I'm Rob West. The short answer is yes. Churches need to have an emergency fund, just like individuals. But what exactly does that look like? Well, I'll talk about that today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, COVID caused a dramatic drop in church attendance and giving. If there was a silver lining, it was that the pandemic removed any doubt that churches need to have cash reserves. But the question remains, how much? The Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability covers that in a great article called Church Cash Reserves, How Much is Enough? And we'll post a link to it in today's notes at faithfi.com. We'll touch on some of the high points today, but let's start with why a church emergency fund is so important. Just like with your personal finances, churches need a cushion to ensure that routine expenses are paid on time. Without it, they run the risk of getting hit with late fees. If there's a mortgage on the property, churches need at least a few months' worth of payments stored up to avoid foreclosure if giving suddenly drops. Why would that happen? Well, just one example. It's a sad fact that churches split, and if half the members leave, a church could soon be facing financial calamity. Also, no one wants to have to take a special offering to replace a worn-out heating or cooling unit, or to have to start at zero if the church decides to launch a new ministry. So there are plenty of reasons why a cash reserve is essential for a church. And the same scriptures that apply to individuals also apply to churches. Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." Also, Proverbs 21, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." But let's say a church has a healthy cash reserve. The work doesn't stop there. Planning and wise management of that fund are necessary because there will always be pressures within the church about how it should be used. Should some of it go toward paying down debt early, or to be more generous with the staff, or to start new programs? This leads us back to the original question: how much is enough for a church's cash reserve? And just how do they come up with that number? And here, there are two very different schools of thought. One says the church should have almost nothing in reserve, trusting God instead. The other says a church should have an entire year or more's worth of operating expenses in the bank. The correct answer is likely somewhere in the middle, and each church, with its leadership, has to decide what's best. Now, what guides that process? Well, first, members need to understand that having a cash reserve is simply the faithful administration of God's resources. This honors God, and the church has to make it a priority because it represents Christ in the world. Next, it's important to build up the reserve during the good times, especially when the church is growing. It should be a part of the budget process, building a cash reserve as giving increases. A church can do that in two ways. One is to budget next year's revenue at, for example, 90% of this year's, or two, by simply putting a line in the budget for additions to cash reserves. Whichever way a church does this, it's important to separate the reserve money from designated funds. In the event of a revenue shortfall, a church shouldn't be tempted to pay the mortgage with money specifically mandated for something else. And speaking of the mortgage, it's wise to keep mortgage reserves above what the lender might require. Okay, a few more things. It's also important to be specific with cash reserve goals, things like servicing debt, capital replacement, and ministry expansion. Also, for any of this to work, leadership needs to communicate the importance of having cash reserves to the congregation. It doesn't show a lack of faith, it's simply good stewardship. Properly communicating clear, specific goals and the progress made toward them might even inspire more faithful giving. And finally, leadership can challenge the congregation along the way to meeting a church's cash reserve goals. Malachi 3:10 comes to mind. It reads, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It isn't really a secret or a surprise that the Lord calls His people to live holy lives. After all, He's holy. And as the Holy One, He calls us to be holy. But our source for holy living must come as a shock. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The rich young ruler asked in Luke 18. Two options: obey the 613 commandments perfectly, or renounce your self-sufficiency and follow me. He went away weeping because he couldn't just follow the second option. In Jesus' world, the way of holiness is the way of surrender. And he should know, right? Out of love, he surrendered his own life, not for himself, but to make us holy. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We look forward to hearing from you today and tackling the financial issues and decisions you're wrestling with, seeing if we can help you apply the wisdom from God's Word to the decisions and choices you're making today. All right, let's head to the phones. We'll get started today in Minnesota. Scott, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob.
Hey there.
My question is related to health insurance. We currently have the family and my wife on the employee-offered plan, but we're paying it. The employer pays 100% of mine, but we're considering switching to the Christian Healthcare Ministries because I think it could cut our health insurance costs in about half on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
But we currently have an HSA plan, and so I'm wondering, with that HSA money, can we use it kind of towards the healthcare ministry stuff or to cover our portion of the medical bills that wouldn't be shared since we already have that set aside in the HSA, or do we have to maybe look for another way to use that HSA money since it's already been put in there pre-tax?
Yes. So you're not looking to continue to contribute to the HSA. You just want to be able to use the money you've already accumulated?
I might contribute a little bit because I think I would stay on the HSA plan because it's paid for by the employer, so it's at no cost to me. So we might, I would maybe contribute a little bit if we can utilize that money outside of the current way we're using it.
Yes. Well, you wouldn't be able to pay for the cost of a health sharing plan with your HSA, and you would only be able to continue to fund the HSA so long as you have a high deductible health plan, which a health sharing plan would not qualify as a high deductible health plan with a minimum of a $3,000 deductible. So as long as you maintain that high deductible health insurance through your employer, and then therefore you could continue to contribute to the HSA, that you could certainly do that. But if you no longer have the high deductible health plan, CHM or any other health cost sharing ministry would not replace the high deductible health plan to allow you to continue to contribute. Does that make sense?
Yes. And then for the money that's already in the HSA, could we use that to cover kind of like our deductible on the healthcare ministries?
So as long as you're using it for qualified health expenses, then absolutely. That money that's already been accumulated, as long as it's used for the not to pay the membership to the health sharing ministry or the monthly fee, but as long as you're using it for medical expenses, then absolutely you could use that to essentially offset that. Because remember, with a health sharing ministry, you're essentially a cash payer, and then they're going to step in over a certain amount per incident and share that so that you can, cover those bills. But because you're a cash payer, you could begin to use the funds you already have in the HSA, to offset that. So essentially, you're using the health cost sharing ministry for the rest of your family. Is that right? And then you would stay on the HSA for you, and then funds that you've already put in there, you could use for anybody, correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah. I think that's a good plan.
Sounds like a good plan.
It does. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of Christian Healthcare Ministries. A good number of our team members here at Faith and Finance are on that and have been for years, and just have wonderful things to say about who they are and what they're all about and just the effectiveness. They've shared over $8 billion now. They're the oldest and largest in this space. So I think that would be a great choice for you. And given that you've got this great option for you with the HSA, especially because they're covering 100%, that makes a lot of sense to me. And if you can cut your costs for the rest of the family, through Christian Healthcare Ministries, and then continue to utilize the HSA money alongside it, I think that's a great plan. So I don't see any issues with that, Scott, whatsoever.
Okay. Well, thank you. That helps. I think we'll try to look at doing that.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, thanks for calling. If I can help along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call today on Faith and Finance, taking your calls and questions on anything financial and trying to help you apply biblical principles to what you're dealing with today. Whether it's your investments, your savings, maybe it's your spending plan that you're trying to rein in here at the start of a new year, or your credit score, paying down debt, your giving plan, whatever it might be. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Hi, Ryan. You're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, my question is, well, I've been a real estate agent for over 20 years. And as I work with clients, some of the questions I continue to get to deal with is, should I spend just a little bit more money and get maybe a little bit more of an area, a piece of real estate that would increase in the long run faster than maybe a more rural, unpopulated area, or maybe even a town that doesn't have all the amenities of another town comparable, and be able to get a cheaper piece of real estate in an area that doesn't, rise as quickly in value over the, say, over a 10 to 12 year period.
Yes.
And yeah. I just wanted to see what your thoughts are. I mean, investment properties as well. I see people, getting a 15% return in an area where maybe inflation doesn't really take too much.
Yes.
Of it. 5 years from now, it's kind of worth the same amount.
Yeah, makes sense. And are you asking specifically for folks that are looking at picking up a rental or investment property specifically, or is this question coming up with those looking just to secure their own primary residence?
Yeah, I would say like the phone call I just got off with like an hour ago with a new buyer, just getting married, him and his girlfriend are going to start looking. And they're asking me, there's maybe six boroughs within 15 miles here. So single family purchasing maybe more predominantly is when I see it. Investors maybe don't care as much. They're looking for a higher rate of return, and I guess they'll deal with it. But like for somebody that's coming into 10% money down, 30 year mortgage, and if they spend another 30 grand beyond, maybe what the bank approved them, if they could tweak it up another 20,000, they could get into a town or a borough that is, well, I don't know if the word popular or has a higher growth rate, and just really kind of takes care of them 15 to 20 years from now.
But
it kind of costs more now.
Yeah, makes sense. So a couple of thoughts here. I mean, I think number one, we always need to look at just our financial readiness, and I'm never a big fan of trying to stretch to buy more house than you can actually afford to get into a neighborhood or a part of town that you want to be in. I'd rather them wait and try to save a bit more, especially given some of the uncertainty we have right now where we're heading into the, a potential recession and, folks, despite their best desires to stay in a place a long time, may end up having to move and may find themselves upside down. But I've got some other thoughts, especially as it relates to rentals. So you stay on the line, Ryan. Let's pick this up just on the other side of the break. And we'll talk further. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Ryan in Pennsylvania. He's a realtor and coming up on an issue that seems to be recurring where folks are wondering whether they should maybe stretch a little bit to get into a more popular, perhaps higher growth area of town, even if it's going to cause them to stretch a little bit financially because there's a greater prospect for growth long term, whether that's for their own single family home that they're going to occupy or a rental. And Ryan, I think we could look at both sides of this in terms of if they're buying for their own domicile, I would say, you know, I always like to approach it where we set the non-negotiables on the front end. So, you know, if we're going to say, listen, we want to have 20% down, that's a non-negotiable. Let's go ahead and make that decision on the front end. We want to make sure that the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment with a mortgage is no more than 25% of our pay. That's a non-negotiable. And if we go beyond that, could it work out if we stretch a little bit? It could, but we're presuming upon the future a bit more because, you know, what if we hit a deeper recession this year than we expect and housing prices aren't down 5 or 6%, but they're down, you know, 10 plus. And what if, even though this young couple thinks they're going to stay in this home for 7+ years. What if they get, you know, a job transfer, or they decide to move out of the area unexpectedly, which happens, and now they're upside down because they didn't have the payment, you know, the down payment going in, and now they can't get out of the house without coming out of pocket. So I think setting those parameters on the front end prior to going shopping, which can allow us to talk ourselves into why this makes sense, even though we're violating the things, you know, that we really believe are important from a financial readiness standpoint, I think that's important. And then just trusting that God will provide the right house, even if it's not our forever home. And we understand that, you know what, we're going to be grateful for this home. And, you know, we'll look forward to the next one down the road. With regard to rentals, I think you've got to look at, you know, the amount of speculation that's there. So for instance, if you go into an area that maybe is an up and coming area, it's very densely populated, still fairly rural, but the expectation is that as people move, especially post COVID, you know, out into more rural areas with more work from home, work remote, you know, this could be a kind of the next wave of where people are going, and we want to get in on the front end of that. Well, that's great, but is it going to work out that way? And what is your income need today? And if it's more rural today, are you going to have to, you know, float that debt service without the income you're looking for because you're waiting for people to kind of catch up with this trend that you believe you're on the front end of? And what if it doesn't materialize either the way you expected or as quickly as you expected? So I think you've got to balance that kind of speculative buy with something that's more proven in a more, you know, proven area where there's income and cash flow immediately. But again, that's probably going to be more expensive today with lower long-term growth rates. So you need to make sure that you're going in, you know, with the right down payment and you're not putting too much pressure on your, you know, personal finances if we're looking at this as really a business. But obviously there's a lot to that. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, no, hey, I really appreciate that. You know, it's just an age-old question. And I think even, you know, for myself being in real estate, you know, I can even personally apply, you know, the same, you know, somewhat of a predicament. It's like, well, I have like two areas that I really like and I have passion for them areas.
Sure.
And I think, well, is the passion going to carry me through some of the little bit of a difficulty?
Yeah.
And versus maybe an area that I know is going to be solid rock financially, but I'm going to be like, man, this area just, I'm kind of bored in this area. and doesn't have a whole lot to offer.
Yes.
So that's kind of, yeah. So,
yeah, I totally get it. And I think the key is, you know, really deciding on the front end, as I said before, what am I able to do financially, and don't allow myself to kind of talk my way through of violating those, you know, preconditions on the front end, the parameters, if you will, because I'm just so enamored with a particular part of town. If you really want to be there, let's just start asking the Lord to make something available that fits. And, you know, you're a realtor, so you can spend the time, but other folks, you know, they have jobs and they're busy. But, you know, if you really want to be somewhere, I mean, maybe it involves knocking on some doors and, you know, really, you know, spending a bit more time than you would have expected to find that right purchase that does satisfy all these parameters. It allows me to get in without stretching financially and still gets me into the right part of town. But I guess at the end of the day, I would say there's so much that's subjective here, but just, you know, encourage your folks to decide what the non-negotiables are on the front end, and then don't allow them to kind of self-talk themselves out of those once they find the property that they believe they can't live without. So, hey, I appreciate you checking in with us. I think it's a great question. And I'm delighted to hear that these folks are trusting you for their advice, because I'm sure you'll counsel them really well. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000 to Texas. Hey, Nicole, go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. So my question is, I have a savings account with a substantial amount of funds in it, but I'm not getting any interest on it more than 40 cents. And that, to me, that is a little less than I want to receive on that and those funds. So what can I do to help that money to grow?
Sure. Yeah. How much do you have in this account, if you don't mind me asking?
$300,000.
Okay. And why are you leaving that much in a savings account?
I'm leaving that in because I want it for my daughter.
Okay. But as opposed to, I guess, you know, taking a portion and leaving it there in a secure liquid savings account, maybe equal to 6 months worth of expenses, and then taking the rest of it and, you know, putting it to work and trying to grow it beyond banking products with perhaps a conservative stock and bond portfolio. Are you risk averse, or have you considered that?
I have considered that, but I have not found someone to help me, to guide me in that way. So
okay.
That's where I'm leaning on you guys today.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right, let's do this. If you don't mind, I've got to take a quick break, but if you can hold the line, Nicole, when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on both the saving portion, how we can get that interest rate up, and then how you might consider going about finding an investment professional to take whatever other portion you want to put to work beyond the bank and get that growing for your future. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
In a world where everyone's opinion is considered equally valid, Christian beliefs are under attack. More than ever, we need to stand firm on the clear teaching of God's Word. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a brand new series called What Every Christian Should Know. Join us for foundational teaching on the Bible, God, and Jesus Christ this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open today. What are you thinking about financially here in the new year? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Nicole in Texas. Nicole has about $300,000 in a savings account. She's earning virtually nothing on it, wanting to know how she can get that return up. And Nicole, what I was saying before the break was one way to think about this is in buckets of money, if you will. Bucket number one, let's call your emergency fund. I'd like for you to have at least 3 to 6 months expenses. You may decide you're more comfortable with more than that, but that would be at least a rule of thumb you could consider to keep that in a liquid savings account. I would probably move it to an FDIC insured online savings account. Most of them are paying about 3.5% right now. So if that $300,000 had been in an online savings account, again, with FDIC insurance backed by the U.S. government and linked to your checking account, you would have, you'd be earning about $10,000 a year on that $300,000. So that would get that yield up, which would obviously help. And then the other consideration is to say, does it make sense to take a portion of this, since you said that really the intent of this money is for it to be available for your daughter down the road? The best way to grow this and overcome the effects of inflation, which at a four-decade high right now is real in terms of losing purchasing power on this money, would be to take that portion beyond the emergency fund, whatever you've designated there, and move it to kind of bucket number two in my example here, and then find an investment professional who could build an investment portfolio for you that honors your goals and objectives and values. So we're not necessarily taking more risk than you're comfortable with. You would certainly, anytime you're moving beyond guaranteed products to investment products, there is risk, but you could still be on the more conservative end of that if that's your desire. But it's a great time to get started in investing, just given what happened last year with the market indexes. Most of the major markets were down, and so you'd be buying in essentially at a discount. And with a mix of stocks and bonds, you could put a portfolio in place as long as you have a 10-plus year time horizon that gives you the potential to grow this beyond the 3% or so you might get in a savings account, to something more like 5-8%+ a year. And in terms of finding that investment professional, we trust here at this program the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's the only industry designation for financial professionals who've met significant experience, competence, character, and biblical training requirements related to their financial advice. And I would encourage you to find two or three Certified Kingdom Advisors there in Texas to interview, and then find the one that's the best fit for you that could help you manage and deploy, again, whatever portion you don't deem to be emergency savings in the markets. But give me your thoughts on all that.
That's a good thought. I already have some my 6 months emergency money, which is different from this cash amount that I have.
I see. Okay.
So yeah, I'm always having savings 6 months emergency or add
got it.
More to it over a period of time. So
I see
that FDIC investment or savings. That sounds like something good. So I will
yes.
get with one of the Kingdom advisors and hopefully
yeah.
they can continue to lead me the right way.
Yeah, that's right. And I think in terms of some brand names for that high yield savings account with an online bank, you might want to look at Marcus. That's M-A-R-C-U-S, Marcus.com. That's the retail side of Goldman Sachs. You could look at Capital One 360. You could look at Ally Bank. Any of those would be offering the most competitive interest rates, north of 3.3% right now. And those will continue to head higher as the Fed moves the Fed funds rate higher. They'll all offer FDIC insurance, and they're known for their customer service. And you wouldn't be able to walk into a brick and mortar bank, but in exchange for that, as long as you're comfortable, doing business online and through the ATM and so forth, you'll mm-hmm. get these much higher yields and no fees. So there won't be any monthly maintenance fees or anything like that.
Okay. Sounds
all right.
Good. That's very helpful.
Absolutely, Nicole. And thanks for calling. And again, to find a certified Kingdom advisor, just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, our brand new site. And just click find the CKA. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's take a couple of emails. We receive emails all the time from listeners like you who want their questions read on the air. If you have a question, feel free to send it along to us. AskRob@faithfi.com. We'll try to get as many on the air each day as we can. This comes from Ruth. She writes, my son is in debt from credit cards. He tried to get a 0% interest balance transfer, but was rejected. Do you have a strategy to help him pay off his cards and get back on his feet? I'd like to help, even if I can't bail him out because it's too much money. What can a mother do? And I appreciate your desire to help your son, Ruth. Couple of things. First, let me just start with your approach. And then second, let's talk about a specific strategy to help him get these paid off. Number one, your approach. You make the comment, I'd like to help even if I can't bail him out. Let me offer this thought. Perhaps bailing him out is not even going to be the best strategy if you had the money. Because what we don't want to do is continue to reinforce this idea that you can spend beyond your means without a budget or a spending plan, thereby encouraging debt, and everything's just going to work out in the end because mom's going to step in and pay it off. I want him to learn now, even if it's slightly painful, in a way that's going to set him up for success in the future, because he realizes that, listen, when I live beyond my means, there's consequences. And so I need to right size this equation. Now, that doesn't mean you can't help in a way that's productive. So what does that look like? Well, I would offer this idea. Rather than him getting that zero interest balance transfer, which I'm not disappointed entirely that he was rejected, because that would have not been the way I would have advised you to go. I would consider going to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll help him get the interest rates reduced, not eliminated, but reduced, and then get one level monthly payment that you would pay or he would pay through the debt management agency, Christian Credit Counselors, to his creditors. And it's going to take time, but that's a good thing. We want him to develop that discipline. They're going to help him set up a budget. That's a good thing because we want that practice to be learned. And here's where you can come in. If he's willing to do all of that and commit to making those payments, perhaps you have the ability to come in and say, listen, for every $2 you make toward this payment every month, I'll put in a dollar or whatever you're able to do. But that's not you coming in and just paying off the balances. That's you coming in and reinforcing the right behaviors, which is, I want to get out of debt once and for all. I'm going to live on a budget with a spending plan. I'm not going to live beyond my means. And once this credit card debt's paid off, I'm never going to have any credit card debt ever again that I can't pay in full because I'm only using it for budgeted items. That's the goal, Ruth. That's where we want to get your son. And again, that gives you a way to say, I have a way for you to attack this and I want to help, but I want to do it in a way that's going to reinforce the right behaviors. Ruth, we appreciate you writing to us today. You sound like a wonderful mom, and I hope this gives you some helpful advice and guidance on how you can help your son navigate this and learn from it at the same time, which is always a good thing. God bless you. Again, if you have a question you'd like to send it along, send it to askrob@faithfi.com. By the way, check out our brand new website and download the FaithFi app at FaithFi, that's FaithFi.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're still taking your calls and questions here in this final segment. What are you thinking about today? Let's talk about it. Financially speaking, 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by each Friday in this segment to perhaps reflect on where we've come from and take a quick look at where we're going, economically speaking and market related. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at the Christian Post. He's an author, and he's our good friend and resident economist here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. And Jerry, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Happy New Year to you as well. It was a wonderful New Year for the West. And also for all your listeners.
Thank you so much. And to the Boyers as well. Well, it's been a few weeks. I missed you, buddy. So tell me, why don't we start with a year in review, Jerry? Maybe we'll take a moment here. You know, the turning of the calendar is something about being able to stop and reflect and look back and say, where have we come from to help us look toward where we're headed next?
Yeah, I think, God gives us that, those rhythms, partly to get us to zoom out once in a while, right? Even in the Bible and the Torah, you have New Year's, right? You have Yom Kippur. You have these moments where you step out and say, what happened over the past year, rather than always kind of like living in that moment.
Yes.
Because, you know, as the year was going on, we were talking week to week and everything was switching back and forth. And we talked about why, right? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the people who are essentially governing our monetary policy and, you know, growth policies, there tends to be a double-mindedness, not fixed principles, but, you know, going back and forth between dual mandates and changing their minds. And that creates a kind of way. Where are we going? Because we're going differently. We're going in different directions each week and each month. Really, each minute sometimes.
That's right. So,
but you go back and you look and you say, what's the theme for the year? And the theme for the year is inflation became undeniable. They had been in denial. They said, there's no inflation. Then they said, well, there's inflation, but it's really not that bad. Then they said, well, there's inflation. And yeah, I guess it is kind of bad, but it's transient, which is just their way of saying it's not going to last long. And finally, they had to say, okay, it's real. It's bad. And it seems to be sticking around. And when that happened, then the central bankers, so again, that's the big driver of our economic system, our financial system at this point, they said, okay, we're going to need to contract the money supply to slow down the economy, to drive up the unemployment rate, so that we don't have high wages because they think high wages cause inflation. Also, we need to make markets go down because when markets are high, people feel rich and they spend. That's the wealth effect, and that also drives up prices. Now, from a biblical standpoint, that's all nonsense. Growth is good. Inflation is caused by debasing the currency, not our mood swings.
Yes.
But that's how they think, and that's how they acted, and so they contracted the money supply, caused an inflation recession the first half of the year, probably another recession coming. I know we're going to get to that in a moment. But they got serious about fighting inflation to the point where they seriously slowed the economy. And if you look back at last year, not only did markets fall, but particularly the growth-sensitive stuff fell more. So consumer cyclicals, jewelry, vacation, fine dining went down a lot more than consumer staples. Toothpaste,
yes.
Baby powder, basic clothing. You know, actually utility companies, if you were an investor in the utility sector last year, you were actually up a little because people pay their utilities, but they don't buy a boat. And so those are growth sensitive and so those sold off a lot more and people went towards the recession hedges. They went towards the inflation hedges like TIPS, and they also went to municipal bonds, which are tax hedges. So last year, markets were sending the signal. Our biggest concerns are recession. Inflation is still not going away, but might be getting better. And we think taxes are going up. That's the prediction implied by the way markets acted.
Yeah, really helpful, Jerry, and just a great overview of what happened last year. And to your point, and we've talked about this a good bit, the Fed kind of became the conductor of all of this, and they've perhaps been brought into a position they were not intended to be in as the master architects of our economy, using their levers to control the monetary policy and the interest rates such that everything hinges on what they're willing to do, not to mention their purchases of real assets.
Yeah, that's certainly the people who founded the Fed, the original Congress that enabled the Fed. I don't think they intended to give them this much power. I think, you know, we had the election this year and we talked about it this week. You know, when there was no red wave, markets went down a little. Later on that week, the Fed kind of indicated maybe they're going to be easier. Markets went up a lot. In other words, a hint from the Fed chairman moved markets more than a congressional election. That's how powerful that is. And I know usually in the past it's conspiracy theorists who are talking about the Fed all the time. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just reading the data. The Fed is really big. It's got a $10 trillion portfolio of investments. So it's the biggest investor in the world. And it's gotten some sense, a grandiose sense of its original mission. It's just supposed to be there when there's an emergency, you lend to banks so that you don't have bank runs. It wasn't supposed to be, as you say, the conductor of the economy. That was never the idea.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, let's look toward the future then in terms of your outlook for 2023 with regard to Fed funds rate. How high do we go? And inflation falling, does it get anywhere close to the Fed's target of 2%?
We might have moments where it's close to that. Let's say we get a recession. Recessions can be a little bit disinflationary just for the moment, like people are afraid so they don't spend. Yeah. But like in the 70s, what we had is over the average, we had higher than average inflation. And I think that's what we have. By the way, these aren't really my predictions. I am a forecaster, but I trust the markets as forecasters more than I trust myself, because most knowledge isn't with experts. Most knowledge is distributed out there with the people. And when they're making decisions, that captures more knowledge than I can ever possibly capture in my models. Now, my models are also showing a slowdown, and my models are also showing inflation not going away. But I still trust the markets, the skin in the game. You know, there's that proverb, when the wicked govern, the people groan. When markets are going down, that's saying something about the quality of our leadership. So my outlook, along with the markets, would be we probably get another recession this year, or if it's not a full recession, it's what they call a growth recession, which is that growth is really low. So if it's just above zero as opposed to just below zero, that's almost the same thing, right? Like sure. If growth is 0.1% above zero, it has a positive sign in front of it. If it's 0.1% below, it has a negative sign, but that's not really a big difference. Growth near zero is painful. So I think we have that stagnation or actual recession, fairly likely. And I think if we don't beat inflation, sometimes we'll have some months that are pretty good. We've had a couple of months that are pretty good. So I think the stagflation scenario of the 70s continues. Why? Because we have exactly the same policy mix we had then. And the universe is designed. It makes sense. It's not chaotic. The same bad policies produce the same bad results. The same good policies that we had in the 80s would produce the same good results.
Yes. And Jerry, if we look at just kind of the average listener's portfolio, might we be expecting, given what you're describing with stagflation and some of the same conditions that were present in the 70s, that we're looking at probably a sideways market from here? And talk about domestic versus international stocks and what you're expecting there.
Well, I can tell you domestic underperformed international last year. Not the first half of the year, but eventually they did, which is an indication that the U.S. is not going to avoid a global recession if there is one. There was a sense maybe early on. So in some sense, some of the world might do better than the U.S. In terms of outlook, I guess when we're talking, if someone's listening to this and they're an investor, they have money in the 401k, think of what we're doing right now as interesting, as news. Think of it even as worship. Oh, wait, there's a pattern to the way the economy works, and God's glory is reflected there. But don't obsess over this stuff.
Yeah.
If you have an advisor, you've got a plan, you've got a discipline, stick with that. Don't change up based on what we're saying here. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to help people understand how markets are working. So I wouldn't change your portfolio based on anything that I've said today. I haven't changed my portfolio. If you have, say, a valuation discipline, stick with it and be there in the long run. And the thing that you can do the most is just the stuff that you're doing every day, cutting costs, avoiding debt, having a margin, having money, and not reacting to news. Reacting to news is almost always a loser's tactic. Don't react to news. News is there. I'm talking about the news to help people be calm and have the big picture, not to have them whipsaw back and forth in and out of various sectors. That's not the right application. And that's not exactly the question you asked, but I guess that's the kind of thing I felt just moved to say to the audience.
Well, I'm really glad you did, Jerry. That was helpful context. And what I took away from that is our own economy is just is more important perhaps than the global economy. What are we doing with God's money that has passed to us to manage? And that there is an order and a design to everything. God creates, and we're to improve and be productive and to see His majesty in everything. And you helped us do that today.
Amen.
God Amen. Bless you, my friend. Thank you for stopping God by. And again, you. Happy New Year, Jerry.
And to you.
All right. Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research, our resident economist, helping us, giving us help to giving us, or let me try again. helping to give us perspective, which is always a good thing in light of biblical truth. So thankful you were along with us today. Let me say thanks to my team today, Pat Montague handling our phones today, Devin Patrick, our producer and engineer, and so grateful for Jim Henry, who provides me great research and assistance during the program. I hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us next time, next week, when we do this all over again. Here's my heart, folks, is that you would find encouragement and hope and be encouraged to pursue God's wisdom as it relates to handling His money whenever you listen to this program. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll look for you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.